thankful for each of you being here today, and I trust the Lord bless us in the reading of His holy word. I want to look at a subject, maybe coming at it from a little different angle that I'm sure I've preached on several times here. Seems I kind of rehash a lot here. But I want to look in John chapter 4. You know, something we try to reiterate all the time, we try to go over and over that, you know, as Paul's told Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. He tells us over and over that we're to study His word. And I believe that in the word of God, you find, whether you look at the word heaven, is used in various ways. You look up any word you want to consider, whether justification or whatever, you have different ways it's used. And salvation's the same way. And tonight I want to talk to you about salvation. In fact, I want to come at it, like I said, from a little different angle that's found in John chapter 4. And I go ahead, before I make any other comments, I go ahead and read beginning in verse 19. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye know not what ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now in this passage, you're familiar, the woman at the well was a Samaritan woman. Now the Samaritans, if my memory is right, that the Jews bought the mountain of Samaria, and there were much of the inhabitants left there, and they began to intermarry. And so what you have is, she was amazed. If you went back and you read this whole story in chapter 4, she was amazed that Jesus was talking to her. You know, A, she was a Samaritan. B, she was a woman. And that was very much that they were not to communicate in that manner and way. And so it's really an amazing thing, and she wondered at that. And then you find the story as we go on down, and she said, or Jesus responded to her and said, you don't know what you worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And that's really what I want to begin with tonight. As we think about the birth of Jesus Christ coming up soon, as we, at least the day that we acknowledge and pay tribute to God or give honor and glory to God for the birth of His Son, you know, we think about salvation, because that's the very thing that Jesus was born. You know, He said in Hebrews, a body hast thou prepared me. Why? You look in that context of that chapter and you find that He came to die. He came to be born, yes, but He came to die. And brethren, I want to tell you tonight that as Matthew 1 and 21, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And I want to tell you tonight that as we consider salvation, first thing that we need to understand and really state is that salvation, the word salvation means deliverance. The word save means to deliver. So as you think of salvation, we're talking about deliverance and from a lot of different manner and a lot of different things. The word is used in various means in various ways. And so tonight, again, I want to state that He said, to begin with, we find salvation was to the Jews. In fact, Jesus' whole ministry was to the Jews. It wasn't to everybody else. It wasn't to the whole wide world. It was to the Jews. Now, I believe God has always had people out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. And yet, as far as His ministry, it was to the Jews. And what I want to begin, as in the Corinthian letter, where He says, who delivered us from so great a death, and that word deliver means save, so we could take the word deliver out, and we could insert the word saved, it's one and the same. Who saved us from so great a death, and doth save us, in whom we trust shall yet save us. Brethren, I'm going to tell you tonight that my soul is secured in the Lord Jesus Christ and all the family of God. Remember in Timothy, we state some verses you know quite well. In 2 Timothy 1 and 9, he said, "Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Now, brethren, you know, it's a blessing to understand that we've been secured in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, it was purpose. Jesus was the salvation. He's the one that God the Father, even before the world began, that God had chosen us in Christ. Remember in Ephesians chapter 1, where He says, according as He had chosen us in verse 4, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, I thank God to know that salvation, dealing with our eternal redemption, is not only of the Jews, but that's what the Jews thought in many manners and ways as well, is that deliverance was only to the Jews. In whatever way you want to think of, they thought it was limited to the Jews. Now, we could even mention, and we will, in 1 John, remember the verses people know quite well. He came into his own received Him not. We state it here all the time, but it's so important. He came into his own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to many as believed on His name. Now, that verse don't stop there. He goes on in verse 13, and He says something to the effect, which were born not of blood, that is, it's not of the lineage, it's not that Abraham was your father, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, it wasn't your desire, but he said, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, it's not your daddy, not your mama. You can't will anybody to be born again. It's totally by the grace of God. It's God's desire. It's God's design. And so He said, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So your will had nothing to do with a new birth, but the will of God. In fact, you find in 1 Peter 1 and 23, He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's the same word where He said in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word was God, the word was with God, the same with the being in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him, and not anything made that was. Anyway, you know the passage. He stated there that He is the Word. He's the beginning. He's the living Word. And in fact, in that passage in 1 and 23, quite often people refer to it as the written Word. But I'm going to tell you the same word that in Hebrew chapter 4, where He said that the Word of God is quick and powerful. And He talks about a discerner of the heart and the intent. God and God alone. And that is not the written Word. That is not the engrafted Word. But that is the living Word, because He goes on in that passage and He used pronouns such as He with Him and Him and all them other words that would tell us and dictate to us that passage in Hebrews chapter 4 is dealing with none other than the living Word of Jesus Christ. Now, as we think about our eternal salvation, you know, it's wonderful to know that we've been saved eternally. And that's of God. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to try anything. I don't have to accept Him. But, you know, you're born again. There's all kind of books talked about being born again. But we find that Nicodemus, how that Jesus told Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, He said, I marvel, in essence, in my own words. He said, how is it that a man of such prestigious, is a man of such honor in Israel cannot understand about being born? Anybody here today, tonight, did you decide to be born naturally? Not a one of you. I have a mama, and I love my mama. I didn't decide to be born to my mama. Nobody here chose the parents they had. Now, I want to tell you tonight, it's wonderful to know that neither did we choose God, but God, before the very world began, chose us in Christ Jesus. And brethren, that's contrary to a lot of the teaching today, but nonetheless, it's still the prevalent teaching of the Word of God. In fact, I mean, not only the Word of God, but even throughout history, up until the past 150 years, you go back in time, people believed in election and predestination, but if no one else preaches it and teaches it, it it's still the basic truth of the Word of God, that God, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I want to tell you, as in Hebrews, or I mean in Luke chapter 1 and 69, where he talked about how that God would raise up a horn of salvation unto the house of David. We find that God raised up that horn in the Lord Jesus Christ. And brethren, I want to tell you tonight that horn of salvation is laid up. But not only does it deal with our eternal salvation, it deals, Jesus Christ deals, as I said, who delivered us from so great a death, from sin and death. But he deals with salvation today. And that's really what I want to focus. You see, the Jews, God had a people among all nations, all through time. But brethren, God only dealt with the Jews. In the Old Testament, that's where you find that most things, it was dealing with the Jews. Oh yeah, God would, you might say, deal with Gentiles in ways, and those that were a law unto themselves, they were blessed. But brethren, we find that as the Jews, for the most part, they didn't understand about God. In fact, Romans chapter 3, there were benefits in being a Jew in the Old Testament. Though all of the Old Testament, I try to preach on recently about the new will and the old will. The old will had benefits, but it was only a shadow. It was only a type of the new will, under the new will. Now, each one of these testaments or wills were brought into force through the death. The first testament, the first will, the first covenant was brought into force through the death of animals. Now, I want to tell you, none of those animals perfected anybody. And this new will has been brought into force through the death of Jesus Christ. And he has perfected forever those who were set apart or sanctified. And brethren, I want to tell you, we were set apart in the Lord Jesus Christ before the world began. God chose us. God set us apart. And so in this new will, as we think about this new will, this new covenant, this new testament we have today, in this new will, it's not just talking about the inheritance that we're going to have one day, but it tells us about the earnest of our inheritance. In fact, I love preaching about it, about being born of the Holy Spirit, being sealed of the Holy Spirit, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, brethren, I'm going to tell you, God's children are born again totally by the grace of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And Paul said in the Corinthian letter, we are not of them which corrupt the word of God. This word can be corrupted. I can corrupt it. You can corrupt it. Men can write. In fact, we find today that men have wrote books about it that have corrupted, and even some versions have corrupted the Word of God totally. And so men can corrupt this. Now, God has preserved His Word, but men can corrupt the Gospel. But the living Word cannot be corrupted. The living Word abideth forever. The living Word is not corruptible. Now, and I'm thankful for that. Now, we find where in Romans chapter 3, listen to this now, in Romans 3, he tells us how that there was a benefit of being the Jewish individual. In Romans 3, listen to what the Word of God says here. In Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, he tells us in Romans 3 and 1, what advantage hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were... Unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? Now, brethren, he's telling us that there was a benefit in being a Jew. Why? Because they had the worship of God. They had the sanctuary. They had the means to communicate in the Old Testament way. They had a means to communicate with God. The Gentiles did. Now, those that would be converted to Judaism, they could enter into the outer courts of the temple. They couldn't enter into the holy place. And we find that there were blessings there, but they did not have all the oracles of God. They did not have all the benefits because they were not Jews. And only the Jews had all of these benefits in dealing with God. Only the Jews were under the First Testament. Only the Jews had the benefits of this will. Now, brethren, you see, now he says that there were benefits of that. And one thing I've got to mention, too. You see, he said that what if their unbelief? I'm amazed at how people talk about, you know, don't want to accept election and predestination. Don't want to accept how God would choose the people in Christ before the world began. And yet you talk with them about Israel and say, well, how about Israel? Are they saved? And they say, yeah, they're God's chosen people, so they're going to heaven, even though they reject Christ. I want to tell you, my friend, God has a people among them out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. But our eternal salvation is not based. Many people have lived and died, have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many people in various nations have never heard about the Lord. And brethren, God has a people out of every nation, all nation, every tongue, every tribe of people that are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not up to our work. In fact, Romans chapter 9, where he says, the children being, beginning in verse 11, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works but of him that calleth, as it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith unto Moses, I will have mercy upon whom I have mercy. I show compassion upon whom I show compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. God is the one that showed mercy. What your love, what your grace. In fact, why do we love God today? We love him because he first loved us. He chose us. Now, what do we have? Jews. We find that salvation is of the Jews. What I want to begin to look at is that, you see, the salvation that we have in this life, the deliverance, the covenant, you see, now we have grace. Romans chapter 11 and 11 says basically that the Gentiles that were grafted in, you look in Romans 11, you find the Jews were cut off. What were they cut off from? They were cut off from the covenant. They were cut off from the grace. They were cut off from receiving the power of God. You see now, in fact, you know, the verse I stated earlier in John chapter 1, he came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become. Now, by the way, he didn't say that you were a son of God, so that clarifies to me he was not talking about the next verse, because the next verse was talking about being born of God, but the verse in 11 and 12 was dealing with the sonship of God, the manifestation that I'm a child of God. The same thing he's teaching in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where he says, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. And what does he say? I be a father unto you, and you be my sons, and you be my daughters. You see, brother, when you and I come out from among the world, you know what we experience? We experience salvation. Now, Acts chapter 28 and verse 28 says that the Gentiles, or something to the effect that he would turn unto the Gentiles. I just state that verse real quick, or read it where I get it right. In 28 and 28 he said, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. You see, because they rejected Christ, now we find that Paul and the apostles were going to preach the salvation of God unto the Gentiles. Only a remnant of the Jews had it. Only a remnant of the Jews understood about eternal salvation. Only a remnant of the Jews experienced the salvation that they have in their daily life. You know, who delivered us from so great a death? What was he talking about? He was talking about from sin and death. He was talking about from hell. And yet he says, who delivered us from and doth deliver, in whom we trust shall yet deliver us. What are we going to be delivered from? Our bodies. I believe in a bodily resurrection. Our bodies are going to be changed. Our bodies are going to be delivered. But while we live here now, I need some doth deliver. I need some today salvation. I need some right here, right now. Let me lay my hand on some salvation today. While I'm living, you know, you can talk about all of the wealth I'm going to have one day, and I will. You see, not carnally thinking of streets and gold. I don't know what it's going to be like in heaven, but I'm going to tell you this, it's going to be better than any kind of gold down here. It's going to be, that's carnal mindedness, to think about a mansion in heaven. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to have something better than some little cottage or some, God knows I don't want to be on no golf course. I don't want to see anything to do with grass unless it's all pre-mowed, pre-cut. But anyway, we find that heaven's going to be better than that. That's earthly thinking, carnal thinking. But brethren, we have, the heaven is true and real and vital. But brethren, we have more. We have something today that we can lay hold on. In fact, you know, Ephesians, right after he talks about in Ephesians, how that he says, beginning and for, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. He comes on down, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accept in the blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Verse 11 says this, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. You have an inheritance. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. In 13 and 14, I read all the time and I reiterate it. In whom ye also trusted, that is, in Christ ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now see, this is what I really want to get into, is how that after you and I hear the gospel, see, God turned and no longer is dealing with amassed Jews. Now, and I'm not every Jew isn't a child of God, neither is every Gentile, but God has people among the Jews. And yet we find today that they're blinded. Now I'm going to tell you, why, see, if somebody's been blinded, it means that they could see, and there's people there that can see. In fact, John 8, there's people that cannot see. 2 Corinthians, or Corinthians letter 2 and 14 said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. That is, there are people that's in the twilight zone. There are people that cannot know God. It's not that they don't want. You know, people ask me sometimes, you telling me somebody served God all their life and that, you know, and then they're going to go to hell because they wasn't one of God's elect? I'm going to tell you, if somebody loves God, they're a child of God. If you see the fruit of the Spirit, now I'm not saying everybody in a church house, some people in church house don't care nothing about God, they love their religion. But people that love God and love people, they're a child of God, even if they misunderstand things. But, and I'm thankful because I don't understand everything just right. But brethren, God, I'm a child of the King. I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been saved. But see, I can have some salvation today. And here in this passage, he goes on down. And he says, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. You got to hear it. This is Romans chapter 10. How can they hear except there be a preacher, you know, and how can there be a preacher except he be sent? See, you know, you've got to send, you've got to preach. Number one, what am I preaching? Number one, I want to tell them about the rich, the inheritance they have in verse 11. And then number two, I want to tell them about not only what you have in 11, but I want to tell you what you have in 13 and 14 is that you have the Holy Spirit of truth. He says, in whom ye have trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. You know what that earnest is? It's a down payment, a prepayment. Here's a little bit now. You got a whole lot later, but you got a little bit now that you can enjoy, that you can partake, that you can feast on today. And brethren, it is wonderful to know that we have a little now and we have a whole lot later. It's now and later, and I'm going to tell you, you can experience it now if you and I will believe. In fact, he said in John chapter 3 that if you those that believe will not enter into condemnation, but if you believe not, you're in or abiding in condemnation already. And brethren, I'm going to tell you tonight that a child of God, and this is what I really want to get on into, is about this salvation that we can have. A child of God can shut their ears. You know, Revelation says it like this, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, the word let means to allow. If you have an ear to hear, now there's some people that natural man, he doesn't have ears to hear. He cannot hear the gospel. You can go out that cemetery all you want, nobody will hear you. I'm kind of skittish of cemeteries. I've worked with people that have been a whole lot more skittish than I. You leave them at a cemetery, you come back, they be walking out of the woods. But anyway, nobody at the cemetery never talked to me. Yeah, that'd be the last time I went, if they ever did. Nobody hide back there. But I'm not skittish like I used to be. But dead folks don't mess with you. It's them live folks. Them folks that might be hiding up back there or something. Those are the kind of folks mess with you. And dead folks do not hear. Dead folks cannot hear. Dead folks don't want to hear. And they can't talk to you. And so I'm not scared of a dead folk anymore. But it's them live folks. Now, I want to tell you tonight, brethren, that we need to realize that the natural man cannot hear, don't want to hear, can't hear. And so now, as we think about this, the earnest of our inheritance are to those that have ears to hear. But sometimes people say, I don't want to hear. And they stop the ears because, see, listen to this now. Romans chapter 1. Now, see, we can talk about all kind of verses that would declare our salvation is totally of the Lord by the grace of God. And that's true. What salvation? Our eternal salvation. Our inheritance. It's of God. But the earnest of our inheritance, it's up to us through the grace of God. It's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's God that does. He's motivating you. He's prodding you. But it's up to me. See, we have a free will. A child of God has a free will. One that is not born again does not have a free will. I have a free will as a born-again child of God to acknowledge and serve God or reject Him. I do. I mean, I've got this nature. In fact, I know it because I do it. There's times I reject Him. There's times I turn my back and I walk away when God is prodding me to do the right thing. So I've got this will. And that's the struggle I had. Paul had it. He said, the good that I would, that I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. He said, I'm in a warfare. I'm in a battle. I'm in a, I have a conflict. Only a child of God has that conflict because they have the Spirit of God in their life. But greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. So I can overcome the world. Jesus overcame. I can overcome. But it's up to me to look to the grace of God. And that's also why I need to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Because, see, it all depends. Remember in school they used to have that statement, you are what you eat. If you're eating trash, then before long we will begin to act like trash. You know, if you don't eat good, one thing me and Agnes is learning over the years some, that either you spend your money on good food or you're going to spend your money at the doctor. One or the other. I mean, so we in recent years, we've spent more money on healthy food. Because you're either going to spend it there or you're going to spend it at the doctor, one way or the other. So we need to learn to eat healthier. Well, same thing spiritually. If you feed yourself junk, then we're going to begin to be full of junk. We're going to be unhealthy. Our veins, spiritually speaking, are going to be full of all kind of fats and cholesterols and all kind of stuff that's not good for us. But if we feast and eat on the good things, see, well, you know, it's the same thing what he says, the psalmist said, I've hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And that's really, see, now we have all these verses that tell about our eternal salvation. But now I kind of want to shift. Like I said, I'm coming kind of in the back door. But remember how that in John, in Acts chapter 2, where he says, where he tells us here, he said, in verse 40, a statement there, he says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. You see, our eternal salvation, the salvation, the Jews had it for a long time. What did they have? They had the law of God. There were benefits in the laws of God. They were able to worship God. They were able to fellowship with God. And they were able to have... See, God didn't give the law because He wanted to make you miserable. I mean, it's like right now, all of us would probably like to speed down the road a whole lot faster than we do. Now, some of us, and I've seen some of you in recent years, I've had to watch myself more about speeding. Some people tell me I have two speeds, stop and go. But anyway, I've had to watch myself. But nonetheless, you see, the laws, if we took all the stop signs down and all the lights, I mean, everybody would think, well, boy, that'd be good, wouldn't it? You could just go like you want, you wouldn't have to stop or anything like that. If we done away with all the laws, it might seem good, but it's very bad. See, God's given us laws not because He wants to afflict us, but because these laws are good for our lives. I mean, they're good, the marital laws and all how God has established the marriage and how God has established the church. He's given us all of these things because His design is for our good. And so now the Jews had all that good. Now, as a whole, it's turned to the Gentiles and we have all of these blessings. We have the blessings of the gospel. We have the gospel salvation, the kingdom salvation here in this life. We have the sealing of the Spirit. See, the Jews do not have the Holy Spirit. If you do not acknowledge Jesus Christ, you cannot have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about being born of the Spirit. I'm talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about being filled as well. I believe that, as He said, As I said, I love to preach about being born again. I believe all that's all the family of God. Being sealed with the gospel is only when we hear the gospel, believe the gospel, are we sealed with the gospel. And only when you practice that gospel are you filled with the gospel. You see, you can have the new birth. You can even have the sealing, and that's the beginning. But when you walk in the gospel, you're filled with the Holy Spirit over and over. You know, be ye not drunken with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Well, and then he lists in there about how husbands and wives ought to act, how children and parents ought to act, how employees and employers ought to act. That's part of being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I want to hasten on, and I try to bring some of the thoughts to a close here soon. As we think about this salvation that's turned from the Jews to the Gentiles now, think of it this way. Luke chapter 19 and 9, I believe it is, was Zacchaeus. Remember him? He was a publican. Remember what a publican is, if my mind's right. Sometimes I get messed up, but anyway, right now I'm talking, so it's all right. You straighten me out later. A publican was a tax collector, if my memory's right. And remember how the publicans, John, when he began to preach, remember how he preached to some of the Roman army? And the Roman army, he didn't tell them not to be a soldier. You know what he told them? He said, be content with thy wages. Now, in the Roman army, they would take all, every nation they conquered, they would have people a part of their army, some of their best young men. And how they done that and controlled them not only was from force, but they would promise them that you can have whatever you basically want in the nations round about that we conquer. So he told them, be content with your wages. Well, same thing with the publicans. How they done the publicans was that they said basically they gave them authority basically that they could take what they want and get taxes from the people at whatever rate they wanted to a degree, if my memory's right. So here was this man, Zacchaeus, and he said, I've given half of what I have to the poor, and if I've stole, basically, in my own words, any man, I'm going to restore to him fourfold, just like the law stated. I'm going to give back fourfold. I'm going to tell you, we'll stop a lot of thievery if we begin to make people restore fourfold. Don't throw them in prison somewhere. Beat them a little bit and put them out there. Said you're going to get to work and you're going to pay them folks you stole from four times what you stole from them. But nonetheless, we find now that salvation was turned. And you know what Jesus said to Zacchaeus when he saw him up in that sycamore tree? He said, basically, Zacchaeus, you come on down because this day is salvation come into thy house. Now, yes, he was talking about Jesus is walking into his house, but I want to tell you, it was more than that. Zacchaeus now was beginning to follow God, and Zacchaeus was going to experience all of the deliverances that you have, because, see, salvation is used in more than one way. Remember Peter on one occasion, when Peter was in the storm, and how that the storm was bolstering the winds, and he said, Lord, if it be thou. Now, I want to mention this. Do not ask something of God that you are not expecting or that you are not willing to do. My brother-in-law, one of them, he said, I prayed for patience. And he said, you better be careful, because remember what the Bible says about patience. You won't pay. Everybody here wants patience, right? You know, we say, give me patience, Lord. Give it to me now. Everybody here wants patience, right? Well, the Bible said tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience, experience. So now, if you want patience, be careful. Because tribulation worketh patience. My brother-in-law wound up with a broken arm for 18 months, broke in eight places, and before he had some use. Still isn't right today. But what I'm trying to say is that, you see, we need to watch what we pray for. Because sometimes we ask, God, show me your will, and then God shows you his will, and then you don't want, or we don't want his will, so be careful. Now, let me go ahead back to my thought if I can remember. You see, salvation, there's deliverance. He says in Acts 2 how that we're to save ourselves. So if I were to ask you tonight, you know, a lot of times I love going to places and saying, what do you have to do to be saved? Or are you saved? We see in people's minds, and I love going in any Baptist church and saying, do you have to be baptized to be saved? And you see, people automatically jump in their mind thinking of eternal salvation. Well, I'm going to tell you tonight, brethren, we don't have to do anything for our eternal salvation. But we have to do a lot to experience. Number one, save yourselves. You know, you can save yourself. How is it, young folk? You can save yourself. I can save myself, and I need to, and you need to. from the corruption of this world. What we watch, what we look at, what we listen to, the people we hang around. Save yourself. Brother Billy preached a message, I believe, not long ago or a few months ago or whenever it was, about save yourself. We need to save ourselves. You can't do it eternally, but this same thing the psalmist said in Psalms 119, I've hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know what he was saying? I'm saving myself. I hid thy word. In fact, do you have to have a good memory to be saved? Oh, I thank God that's not eternally, and I thank God I don't have to remember everything, every jot and every tittle. But there's some things. Remember, that's what I'm here tonight, stirring up your minds. Remember what Peter said, that you stirring up your pure mind, stirring it up. Why? Because it kind of gets lost in there. It gets a little fuzzy up here. And you know, he says that we have to keep in memory. Look, if you will. And we'd be closing here directly, but in 1 Corinthians 15, just look to this in chapter 15. Listen to verse 1 and 2. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, and also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." Now listen to what he says. "By which also ye are saved, if," a condition, "you're saved if," it puts a condition on it. Anytime it's conditional, it's not dealing with our eternal salvation. It's dealing with our salvation that we experience in our daily lives. He says, "You're saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." Now, you go to Hebrews chapter 2, and you find that Jesus was telling them, or Paul was telling the church there, or the brethren there, he said that the Old Testament saints were scared of death. But when Jesus came on the scene, He delivered them or saved them from the fear of death. Now, this is what this whole discourse is about. It's about the bodily resurrection. I do not have to be afraid of death. But, you know, and we might as well get used to it. Some of you are older, but, you know, I can die before any of you. Tonight, and God forbid, but anyone here could die. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm not scared to die, at least right now. Because I have the confidence, tonight at least, in the grace of God. He saved me eternally. Now, I can lose that if I turn my back from God. I can't lose my salvation. But I can lose that confidence. That's why, you know, I can forget, according to Peter chapter 1, I can forget that I've been purged from my old sins. I can forget that. But you see, as long as I'm walking with God and adding to my faith, virtue to virtue, knowledge and knowledge, temperance and temperance, and He lists all those things, I will remember, I will know and have confidence in the salvation of God. And I can experience and lay hold on it now. But listen to what He says in verse 2. "By which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory." You see, it's important that you remember. It's important that you remember the Word of God. Now, I think we go ahead and try to close the thoughts tonight. You know, remember Philippians said in chapter 2, I believe it is, in verse 12, "Work out your own salvation." See, that's contrary to a lot of scriptures I've stated. Well, it's not contrary. It's just that our eternal salvation is totally by the work of God, the grace of God. But here and now, you can save yourself. Here and now, you've got work to do. Here and now, to the kingdom of God, you must do to enter in. This same thing. It really, you find the same lesson over and over and over that you find where he says in Matthew chapter 7 and 21, where he said, "Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter in what? The kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Doing God's will. You know what the will of God is? Believe Jesus. Now, believe in Him, but also to believe Him. I've got to go ahead and mention as we turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. I mentioned it earlier, and I promise I'd hush up soon. 1 Peter chapter 3. Remember I mentioned about water baptism. You know, any good Baptist say, baptism don't have anything to do with our salvation. That's true. Eternal salvation does not have. Baptism has something to do. I want all the children to understand. I want anyone older that's been baptized. That's not going to keep you out of hell. Jesus' blood is not going to save you or condemn you if you've not been baptized. But baptism is important. God wouldn't establish it if it wasn't important. And listen to what he says here. He says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, he said, "Which were sometimes disobedience," and I'm starting kind of in a sentence, but he said, when the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, he's talking about Noah and his family, God's wrath waited 100 or so years before he brought judgment. And you know what he said then? He said, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. That word saved means delivered. The same wrath that came upon the earth, the same water, also lifted up Noah and his family in the ark. And as we think about that ark, those 8 souls were saved. Listen to what he says now in this next verse in 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Does baptism save you? Yes. But he explains. He says, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It hadn't saved anybody from sin. It hadn't saved anybody from a filthy life. Oh, you can go out there and dunk yourself all day, and you might be cleaner on the outside, but it won't clean anybody on the inside. It's the blood of Jesus, the only thing that will save us eternally. But, brethren, I'm going to tell you, it's obedience to God. Listen to what he said. I like to call it that peppermint patty experience, that, whoo, you're feeling good, you're feeling clean. When you feel good about yourself, why? He comes on, he said, the like figure wherein baptism does now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but of an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God has saved us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ eternally, but I want to tell you now, you can experience that in your daily life. In baptism, when you're baptized, you experience that cleansing. And when you walk in what the baptism represented, then you experience that cleansing in your daily life continually. Now, in closing, we find in James, listen to what he says, in James 1 and 21, he says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. See, he says, set some things aside. Lay them apart in superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness. Receive the Word of God with meekness, submitting ourselves to the Word of God. He said, the engrafted Word, he's talking about the written Word, which is able to save your soul. The same thing the psalmist said, I've hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thou shalt not steal. You hide it in your heart. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You hide those things in your heart. You put them there. You stir them up. And brethren, they will save you from destruction. The Word of God, it will save you. It will deliver you from a lot of turmoil, a lot of hell, whenever we obey God. If Jonah would obey God to begin with, he wouldn't wound up in hell. Was Jonah in hell? Yes, he was. He was in the belly of hell. He was cast into the depths of the ocean, and then God sent deliverance to him, the whale, whenever he repented and turned to God. So whenever we began to serve God and turn to God, we can experience salvation because God has extended His salvation, not only eternally, but the salvation of God now, the gospel salvation, the kingdom salvation. He's extended that now to the Gentiles. And that's what we are. Two last verses. One is in James. Listen to what he says here in James 5. He says in 19 and 20, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him. Can you save somebody? Yes. If you turn somebody from their way and one convert him, listen to what he says. Let him know, he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. He says, if you convert somebody, you've saved a soul from death. What does death mean? From a separation from God, from a destruction in their life. Same thing. Now, I can't save anybody eternally. I hadn't saved one soul from eternal hell, from the filth of the flesh. But by the grace of God, there's been people that I have talked with that their lives have been changed. There's been people that you have talked with and encouraged that their lives have been changed. And sometimes you might be a small part of that, but we need to begin to sow more seeds and tell people about Jesus and encourage people, whether they be saved from fear of death, whether they be saved from fear of not having confidence in their salvation, whether they be saved from a life, a shipwrecked life. You see, your life can be shipwrecked. Last verse, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Listen to what he says in verse 16. Take heed unto thyself. That means you take some heed. You pay close attention. You draw it to yourself. You pay close attention to this matter. Be real careful in this. Take heed unto thyself. Listen now. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. You know, we talk a lot about doctrine. I believe in doctrine. What doctrine means is teaching. There's all kind of teaching in the Word of God. We like to talk about fundamental doctrines. Well, brethren, take heed unto thyself and to the teaching He said, continue in them. See, it don't matter that you just believe in Jesus. The devils do that. I mean, big deal. But believe what Jesus says. Walk in them. Continue in them. Listen to what he said. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Because see, if I run my jaws and I'm not trying to walk in the teachings of Christ, then brethren, you're not going to pay much attention to me and I'm not going to pay much attention to you. But when we are taking heed and walking in them ourselves, we save ourselves, but you save your children when they see your lifestyle and they hear you and they pay attention to what you say. You save your neighbors and those around you. I'm not talking about from eternal hell. I'm talking about from a life of destruction. So tonight, salvation is not only to the Jews, but you are Gentiles, those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should declare the eternal salvation of God, the inheritance that God has given us, and the earnest of the inheritance. Yes, you're a wealthy man down yonder, but I want to tell you, you got a little bit you right now, but you've got to continue in the ways of God, the laws of God, the teachings of Christ, that you can experience that inheritance today. In the kingdom of God, in the gospel, in the church of Jesus Christ, you can experience the salvation of God, the horn of salvation. Christ come to save you from your sins eternally. But I thank God he's a horn that I can lay hold on today. God bless you. If there's anyone tonight, if you desire to take up your cross and begin to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to lay hold on the horn of your salvation, we encourage you to come forth as we stand and we sing a hymn.